Let's go to the Micah chapter 2, starting from the verse 1.
Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and to take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage.
The Micah is talking to the people what these people are doing. These people are doing evil things because they do not have the fear of God. Once you lost the fear of God, then you do whatever you want to do. Most of all, the people, they are not satisfied what they have. They want other people's property, other people's houses, other people's field, whatever they have, they want for themselves. Now, these are not ordinary people. When you read in this first verse, he says, this kind of people, whole night, they think how they're going to take control of other people's property, other people's houses, and other people's things. And he says, they think in the nighttime and the morning before the dawn, they try to do what they were thinking. And he says, nobody has power to stop these people. Because when they thought what they want to do, they do it because it is in their hand. What does it mean? They have power to do it. This is not ordinary people. This is government. The mayors, the governors, the kings or presidents, they make their own theory or own ideas how to take other people's land and property. You just saw a few days ago, Russian people, the Putin. What did he do? They want to do these Olympic Games. So he told the people, vacate your houses, go. He might have given some money, or if they don't, forcefully, he might have kicked them out. And thousands of people left their home because of some Olympic game. And then they left their dogs and cats, and we heard thousands of dogs and cats were killed. Those people could not do anything because it is in the man's hand. That is his power, and then he is doing it. Now in verse 2 he says, what they are craving the field and taking everything by the violence, houses and properties and everything, whatever they have, they're taking it. And he says they're taking their even heritage. Means somebody has the house, their forefather gave it to them, they have a sentimental value. If they have their own, it's not like they bought it, they got from their parents. So they have some value. They don't want to give those things, but they are taking it by force. Several examples, but one example I'll give it to you. Just go to the 1 Kings chapter 21 and verses 1 to 19. Here is the story. King Ahab, if you don't have time, I'll just tell you in short. King Ahab goes to one man, Naboth, and he says, hey, your vineyard is very close to my palace. So give me your vineyard, and I'll give you in exchange another vineyard a little bit further than my house. Or if you want to sell it to me, I'll give you the price. Sound like a good deal. But the man says, no, sir, I cannot give it to you. This is my heritage. I cannot give this. The king got so mad, angry, disappointed, and he could not sleep. So his wife, he could not even eat. His wife comes and he said, what happened? He tells the story. She said, are you the king of Israel or not? What she's saying, you have power. You can do anything. So she said, go ahead and eat and go to bed. I will give that vineyard to you, maybe tomorrow. So this man goes to bed, but the lady doesn't go to bed. She's thinking what she can do. She's thinking, we have to do something legally. So she sends the letter to the elders and says, go and tell this man some kind of harassment. Do some harassment. And when you do harassment, this man will say something bad about king, bad about God, and then tell this man, you are guilty, and kill him. And they did exactly. Kill the man, and the lady says, hey king, go and get your land. This is what the people do. Poor man, he has no defense, and they kill the man, and his blood, dog licked it. You have to read the whole chapter. But God sent the prophet and said, go and tell him, what you have done is wrong. The dog will lick your blood also. The point I'm making here, this man, king, he has everything. But he wants somebody's land, somebody's vineyard, and he even allowed that man to be killed. He should have asked his wife, what are you going to do? If the wife would have said, I'm going to kill him, he would have said, no, don't do it. But this is what the people do. They have nobody's fear. Nobody can do anything to them. They are in the good position, government position. And so they do anything they want. And they harass people and kill people, destroy people. And this was exactly happening in Judah and Samaria. That's why God sent this prophet Micah. And Micah is saying, this is what's happening. So God is not going to just keep quiet when you keep on doing evil things. Let's read the verse 3.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil.
Now here God is saying, you know what you're doing? You are sowing the bad seed. That means whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. God said, I'm going to do evil. God doesn't do any evil thing. But when God does something, the people think this is evil. God has power to destroy anybody or anything. But God does not do wrongly. He gives you chances. He gives you warning. Here God is giving warning. These people were not destroyed. Micah is just telling what God is going to do. He says, if you do like this, the enemy will come and put so much burden on your neck, means the yoke of bondage. You will be not able to move your neck under that bondage. You will go in slavery. Now you are proud people and keep your head up and walk around in a good position, but you will be in slavery. You will not be able to walk around keeping your head up because you will be having the yoke of bondage, and that kind of evil thing will come upon you because you people are doing evil. You have evil ideas, and what you sow evil, you are going to reap evil. Verse 4.
In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields.
Now he says, the time will come, the enemies will laugh at you And they will make a joke out of it. And they will make like a proverb. Look at these people. And they are going to say, you know, just like you see, something happened to America, something happened to Israel. These Muslim people dance around. And they sing, see what happened to those people. So he says, this is what's going to happen. You will go to slavery. People will harass you. People will make fun of you. And then other people are saying, see what God has done to these people. See how miserable these people are. And people are going to make fun of you. And they will be dance around you in the field. And so in short, he's trying to say how you will feel at that particular time. So the time, evil time is coming. The enemy is going to possess everything what you have, and you will not have any freedom. Verse 5.
Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord.
And he says, when that time comes, and people take your position or land, and when they take it, you're not going to say, or you're nobody in your congregation, means the leader or the government person or anybody, say, hey, how much land you took? Look at this. And they want to measure it. Nobody will do it. Because they will not take the land by measure. They will take it. And you will not say, hey, this was my boundary. Why you took this my land? You will not have any power. Your government people will not have power. Or your religious people will not have power. Because you will be completely slave to other people. They can do whatever they want to you or your land or your positions. Now, verse 6.
Prophesy ye not, say they, to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame.
They're saying to this Micah, hey, don't tell us what's going to happen. Don't prophesy that way. These things are not going to happen to us. Why are you prophesying this way? They want soothsaying. People do not like preachers preaching the things which can hurt them. They said they have itching ears. They don't want to hear what the preacher says. Tell us something good. We don't want to hear the bad things. We want to hear good things. We don't want condemnation. We don't want judgment. We don't want God is going to destroy us. Just say good things. But we can keep on doing bad things. But we don't want to hear what bad is going to happen to us. So he's saying, trying to tell the prophet, say something good. These things, what you're saying, is not going to happen. Verse 7.
O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly?
Now he says, why are you saying this? That God is bringing judgment. God is going to give it to us in the captivity and all these things happening. This kind of prophecy you're doing. Maybe God will not do like that. He says, God always does good things, so we don't want to hear. God says, listen, if you do good, I'll be good with you. But if you do something wrong, you will be punished. And so, our God is love, and he is a consuming fire. Some children today, their parents do not give them punishment, and so those are the children become like bad people. There was a one little boy, and he went and stole somebody's egg and gave it to mommy. And mommy said, oh, good boy. Where did you find it? Somebody's chicken. And so next day he bring the chicken and this and that, and she kept on saying, good boy, good boy, good boy. And then one day he did some big crime and he got a death penalty. He said, you have any wish? He said, yes, I want to see my mom. And when mom came, and he just took a bite of her nose. Said, why you do that? He said, she is the cause of this. When I did something wrong when I was little, she never corrected me. And that's why I became this violent person. So point I'm making is our job to train the children, and if they don't listen, you punish. God does that. God says, if you do good, I will be good to you. But if you start doing bad, I have to punish you. And that's the way God is. But people do not want punishment. They want everything good. We can keep on doing wrong, but you keep on loving us. And that's what the people are doing. You remember in the case going on today? The girl is 18 years old, and she is suing the parents. What she is saying? I can stay outdoor midnight or dance around or spend time with my boyfriends or whatever I want to do. Who are you to telling me to come on time? So they said, okay, well, that's the way you want. We are not going to pay anything and go live somewhere else. She goes and lives in somebody's or some friend's house, and they said, oh, you should sue your mom and parents. And she did. Thank God the judge was good judge, and maybe threw the case away. They might be going to do it again. But the point I'm making, that girl is violent. She is doing wrong thing. She's 18 years old. She's supposed to go and work and make her own money and support herself. But she's trying to destroy the mom and dad because they are good to her. And up to now, she said, mother and father's responsibility to educate their children. Mother's and father's responsibility is not to train the children to do the right thing. She wants to do the bad thing and get rewarded, right? And so that's the way these Israeli people are saying, you know, why God is judging us? He should not be judging us. He should be doing good to us, whatever we do. That's the God is. God says, you know, listen, I'm a good God. I do good things. And if somebody does bad, I punish them. And that's what you're going to get. Okay, let's read the verse 8.
Even of late, my people has risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with a garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war.
Now, when you read this word, you won't understand what this is all about. He says, you people became the enemy of God, enemy of my people. He says, if somebody, a man, a good man, that man doesn't harm you, doesn't do any wrong to you, he's not your enemy, and he's just minding his business and walking on the road. So what you're doing, you take his robe out, you take his shirt out, and this man is not fighting. He just say, okay, take my shirt, take your everything you want. But you don't care about this person, and you make his life so miserable when you're taking somebody's jacket and shirt and undershirt and tearing apart his clothes and everything. And that man looks like a man coming from the war. He was minding his business. But you are trying to destroy the innocent people. They are not doing anything to you. They are not your enemy. They are not causing any problem to you. They're minding their business, and you go and destroy those people's life and make them miserable, like a beaten up the man, like coming from the war. That's the kind of life you people are living. So God is saying, I'm so mad. You are doing this kind of things to the innocent people. Okay, verse 9.
The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever.
Now he's saying, not only you taking the cloth of the shirts and the gown or whatever he's wearing, but you are trying to destroy my people. The innocent people, they are taking houses, you are taking their children and doing everything what you want. And so he says, children you are taking out of their hands, maybe they're killing. Today we see some of the people taking the children and giving for prostitute centers. Girls and boys snatching out of their mother and father's hand. And they are doing it today. Same way they did it in then. And they said, these children is a future glory. That means the innocent children, today's children, tomorrow's leaders. Today's children, tomorrow's pastors. But you don't have that kind of vision. You take the mother, father, their property, their houses, everything, and you taking innocent children. They didn't do anything. That is my future glory. That is my future nation. You are destroying everything. And so God is telling through the Micah, God is very mad at these people. Verse 10.
Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction.
Now he says, now this is time has come. I'm going to send the enemy. They are going to destroy you. So get ready to go for captivity. That's what he is trying to say. God is going to send you to captivity, and your destruction is not ordinary. Sore destruction is not an ordinary one. And so you will suffer what you have done. So God gives you chances. Not one time, two times. This is not a one prophet. You saw so many prophets coming. In this time, there were three different kings. And Isaiah, and this Micah, and this other prophets, Hosea. All those prophets on the same time telling these people, but they are not listening. What they say, hey prophet, don't prophesy that thing. It's not going to happen to us. God is good. And that's why the word of God says, book of Romans chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, please read. He says, people says, God is good. And so, because God is good, he's not going to punish us. He's not going to do wrong to us. So keep on doing sin. Please read.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
See what he's trying to say? Goodness of God giving you chance to repent. God is waiting, say, okay, you made one mistake, made another mistake, maybe third mistake you do, you might repent. But they don't repent, and they get calluses and keep on doing what they're doing. He says, God is giving you a chance to repent. That's a good God. But if you don't do, what happens? Verse 5.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
See, he says, now you keep on committing sin. And what happened? You got calluses. You don't have a repenting heart anymore. And you keep on doing. But if you keep on doing that, then the God's wrath will come. God is not going to say, okay, whatever you do, do it. I'm not going to punish you. That is not a God. God is a righteous God. He gives you chances and he gives you boundaries. And he says, okay, if you don't listen, the time will come and I will destroy you. Now today some people are doing some crime, and secretly they are doing, nobody's watching them, and they keep on doing. They are like a serial killer, and they say, oh, I killed 100 people and nobody knows. So they became like a very expert doing all those things, and sometimes nobody knows who was killing. And the man might be old man and died, and whatever he did, nobody knows. Can be happening in this world. But do you think God is going to let him go? God is keeping the record. Even though he was not punished in this world, but he will be punished when God is sitting on the judgment seat. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, God has appointed day. Once to die, after that judgment. No one can see, I can deceive God. And God doesn't know what I'm doing. God has a record. I was thinking, when I was young, how can God keep this book? How many billions of people? But now we saw the small little chip. We can put thousands of books on that. God has better plans. We don't know what kind of chip, what kind of system he has. So he has everybody's movie studio, everybody's movie, Nobody can say God doesn't know. God doesn't forget. God knows everything. If any time you say, I didn't do it, okay, wait a minute, here is the button. See this, did you do this? So there is nothing you can hide. So here he says, I'm waiting for the day. If you don't repent, don't think you can get away. You will be judged. And that's the way he is telling these people. You got calluses, you don't listen, but the time is coming. I am going to judge you. There is no way out. And he says, secret things, what you did, it will come to surface. So now some people said, I did so many horrible things. I don't want anybody to know it. So what you do? Repent. Repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Those things are washed away, forgiven and forgotten. In the judgment time, nobody will know what horrible things you did. Why? Because you are already asked forgiveness. And that's what this Jesus Christ is all about. He says, I did not come to judge you. I came to forgive you. But if you do not recognize the way of salvation, then the judgment is sure. God is giving us chances. If you lose the chance, you will have judgment. Go back to the Micah chapter 2, okay, verse 11.
If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people.
He says, you want a prophet to prophesy good things. Hey, you will have wine, you will have beer, you will have all kinds of good things. Nothing is going to happen to you. That's the kind of prophet you like. That's the kind of prophet you want. And that's what he's saying. Those kind of people, those kind of prophet, you are looking forward. And so God is saying, you want soothsaying. Who are those people say the soothsaying? The palm readers. They will never tell you anything bad. They will tell you everything good. And so next time you say, you know, I want to tell you more. Come tomorrow. Come next week. And bring more money, and I'll tell you what to do. You have some enemies. You know that boyfriend you like so much, and now he's running around. I will tell you to do certain things. He will come craving to you. Okay, then I want that. And they will give whatever the money they want to get those things doesn't come true. And so they will tell you to do certain things. The people like soothsaying, and they send money. You will be reading in the chapter 3, similar thing, but I'm just saying in this chapter. So he's saying, you want the prophet to prophesy the way you like it. Micah says, I'm not that kind of prophet. I am the prophet, righteous prophet, do the righteous thing. Okay, verse 12.
I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men.
Now, up to now, he scolded them. He told them, you are going to go in a captivity. You will have sore punishment. Your neck will be under their bondage or yoke. You will be miserable. Everything he said. But still he's saying, you know what? I still love you. I want to take you out of the bondage. Even though you go to the bondage, I will tell some of the leaders to bring you out. And do you know, Assyrian people, Babylonian people, captured the Israeli people, kept in the captivity for 70 years. After that, Zerubbabel, Zechariah, and Ezra, Nehemiah, all those leaders stood in front of those kings and say, we want our people to be free. And that's what he's saying, the time will come. And your leaders, read the verse 13 also then.
The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them.
Now here is saying what's going to happen, you know, when they will be in the bondage, I will raise some people. I will raise some leaders like Zechariah or Nehemiah or the Ezra or Zerubbabel, and they will lead those people out of their gates. And he says they will bring them to Jerusalem. And when they come there, they come like big numbers. And he giving an example like you have so many sheep and goats gathered together in one place. And what they do? Lots of noise comes. So he says, you will be so many making noise in my holy city. Means I will gather you together. That means you'll be singing, you'll be praising, you'll be glorifying God, and the whole world will know, look at these people. How many people are here? They were in bondage. We tried to kill them. But still Israeli people are alive. This thing happened for hundreds of years ago. But now what he said, it happened. He delivered the people. They came. And now these people are stronger than anybody else. They're making a lot of noise. People know Israeli people are very good people. They are inventors. Did you see a couple of days they had some special program what the Israeli people are doing? They are doing certain things that some blind people, they put a camera in their eyes or a chip in their eyes and they can see. People are disabled, they have some kind of device and they can walk. And they are doing all kinds of invention. They said they have battery-operated cars, but nobody wants it now, but it's a time is coming. And they said they are the first one to invent this solar power. They said today in our Israeli houses, our houses heated water by the solar power, and we are the first one to invent that. And then somebody says, I invented the bicycle from the cardboard. And he says, that bicycle is strong. 500-pound man can sit and drive that bicycle. And he says, when I make that bicycle, that money will be less than $10. He can make a bicycle less than $10. But he says, we are going to sell it for $64, $65 because they have to make profit. So point I'm making, all these Israeli people gathered. They are coming. They are coming from different country and different tribes. And now they are like a sheep making a lot of noise. And he says, my people, my leader will bring them out. Like I said, Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, all those leaders were leading these people. And we learn how they came, how they build the temple, how they build the walls. They did everything. And now Israeli people are not under the bondage. Nobody ruling them. They are free people. And that's the kind of thing he said, I'm going to do it. Let's read the Ezekiel 36, 37 and 38.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay.
As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
See, here is saying, all these Israeli people will come like a flock, like a sheep, thousands of them, and they will come to Jerusalem. That time already came, they are already here, and they are already enjoying the freedom. But we are talking about the time of Micah. Time of Micah, whatever the people did, God sent them to exile. And when you're reading in the third chapter, he says, the priest, the prophet, the kings, the prime minister, everybody is evil. And they are all doing evil things. And so God says, I am not going to keep quiet. I am going to judge you. The word of God says, we were yet sinner and Christ died for us. We are so grateful. Grateful to God. God says, I am going to make a new covenant with the children of Israel. If you read in the book of Jeremiah, please read verse Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
See, these are the things God is going to do to the Israel. But thank God, with us, Jesus Christ already made the new covenant with his blood. Now, the word of God in our heart, Jesus Christ lives in our heart. We are not live by the law, we live by grace. St. John chapter 1 verse 17, he says, the law came by Moses, but the truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. The law kills, but the grace and mercy gives life. So Jesus Christ already made the new covenant. Now we are in the new covenant. The word of God says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't need anybody to teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Holy Spirit will guide you. Holy Spirit will remind you what I have told you. And Holy Spirit will take you in all truth. So when the people are born again, children of God, they're living in the Holy Spirit, they're living in the power of God, they will not do any harm to anybody. Because once you have Jesus Christ in you, what the word of God says, God is love. Once you have that love and that God in you, you are not going to envy, you are not going to take anybody's position, you are not going to look at anybody's wife, you are not going to steal anybody's money or anybody's children, you will not do evil things. So what's the solution? The people are saying, one generation after another generation, people keep on doing wrong thing. You know what's the problem in our country or every country? What is problem? Sin is the problem, but can we correct it? We can correct it, but it has to start from the childhood. You have to start with the babies. You have to tell the babies, your children, that the cigarette is bad, the drinking is bad, this is bad and that is bad. You have to teach them from the childhood. You know what the Muslim people are doing it? From the childhood, they are telling, Israelis are bad, we have to kill them. The Christians are bad, you have to kill them. And all these things they planted in their mind. That's the way they learn. In their books, in their school, and when they are grown up, they are going to do the same thing. Unless Jesus Christ appears to them or somebody shows them the right way. Point I'm making. People are learn wrong thing from their lifestyle, of their parents. They don't want to change. So if you want to change the America, tell your children from the beginning. They will not do the wrong thing. But when they are 18, and then you try to tell them you don't do that, they will sue you. You tell them from the childhood. Send them to right school. It's our job to train the children from the beginning. And when you do that, everything will change. But I know there is a devil working all the time. Small little children, they are very curious to learn. You know what we call when the children start talking? We ask them, what is your mother tongue? What does it mean? Whatever mother and father talk to you, that's what you learn. That is your mother tongue. So you learn whatever what your mother says. Mother says, this is the book. They didn't say, oh, this is not a book, this is the stone. No, this is the book. And that's what they learn. So Whatever you train them, they are going to learn. That's the time when they are small. The mother and father do not have time to tell them when they are small. What they know, we're talking about the Bible and Holy Spirit. They don't know. Let them stay home and we go to church and we go to Bible study. And they don't tell their children. And when they tell them, when they are old, they are too old to understand. So point I'm making, when they are small, like a 4 or 5 years old, tell them. They will give their heart to the Lord. My children, they gave heart to the Lord very engaged, but I did not baptize them until they are 17 or something like that. So that's the time they have to make a decision. The point I'm making, we are not training our people. If you read what the Bible says about Israeli people, he says, tell your children. Write down on your forehead. Write down in your hand. Write down on your doorpost. That's the commandment. And train your children. But they didn't do it. And that's why Israeli people got a lot of problems. You cannot tell me Christianity is bad because you see the wrong people. You see the born-again Christian who are sold out to Jesus Christ. They don't do evil things. Only people who do not walk according to the word of God. And that's why we cannot preach the Christianity to other people, because our people doing wrong thing. But it is not too late. I'm telling you and your children or your grandchildren, if they are not born, your grandchildren are not here yet, make a decision. I am going to train my grandchild or my child in the fear of God. Sending them to right school, sending them to right church, sending them to Bible school or Bible study. I guarantee you, the people will be good. So we do not want this kind of punishment coming to us. That's why these books we are reading. God has given us lots of warning. We have seen it before, we are seeing it today, and we keep on finishing this Old Testament book. Otherwise, there is no reason to read the Old Testament. Old Testament we are reading to find out what kind of things they did, what kind of punishment God gave to them, and what kind of blessing we got. We are the children of God, and we want to live a holy and clean life. God is not an evil God. God is a good God. He says, I do not punish people wrongly. I bless them. But if you go astray, I will surely punish you. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace. This is our job, to tell the Israeli people, tell the Muslim, tell the Jewish, Hindus, Buddhist, and everyone, all nominal Christians, to tell the truth. Your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Thank you, Lord, you have given us the truth. We are not going to hide the truth, we are going to give it away. So let each and every church member start preaching, telling others what they have, and bring the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.